Welcome into your Friday evening, everybody. About time for the weekend. And Matt Daniels and I, Scott Patey, have sports talk for you till 6 o'clock. Thanks for being along. Blake Landa behind the scenes is our engineer tonight. We have high school football tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be scurrying up to St. Thomas More for Rantoul and St. Thomas More in a little while. 7 o'clock kickoff there. A lot of high school football tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. So welcome in Matt Daniels, sports editor of the News Gazette. How are you, sir?
Doing well, Scott. How are you?
Let me ask you this. As a Cardinals fan now,
Are
you pulling for the Cubs to just...
I was last night, not only for the fact that I was wanting the game to end before our deadline up in Milwaukee as well, but just the fact that the Cardinals have somehow snuck back into the playoff picture. And just when things seemed so bleak about 4 days ago after that sweep up in Wrigley against the Cubs, they've worked their way back into the playoff picture through the wild card. And sure, if the Cubs want to take down Milwaukee and help out in terms of the wild card standings, that'd be I'd be all for that.
Yeah,
I think that right now, I mean, the Cubs clearly, I think it's the NL Central is theirs to lose.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's 10 games. There's 10 games left.
The Cardinals aren't going to overtake the Cubs or the Brewers for the NL Central. I'm content with that unless something drastic happens, which can happen in baseball. We've all seen that before. But
sure. But the Cubs have the Brewers left, and the Cubs will still be in first place when the series is over.
Exactly.
Now.
Big series next week, though. The Cubs and Cardinals start on Monday night. So yeah, it's really cool, though, at the end of the year in the NL Central. And kind of the vision, I guess, that most folks in this area, you know, pay particular attention to if they're baseball fans, that it's really coming down to the end of the season with the Cubs playing the Cardinals and the Brewers playing the Cubs. And then I believe after the Cubs and Cardinals play each other next week, then the Cardinals play the Brewers. So there's some interesting baseball still left to be played, it seems.
And the atmosphere last night at Miller Park up in Milwaukee was really fast.
Wrigley
Field North, as it's known. Yeah. But, you know, the Brewers fans came out last night, so everything was getting a half reaction. Everything was getting a cheer no matter what happened. You just don't see that a lot in a baseball setting.
Yeah, it was a very cool environment when the Cubs rallied in the ninth to force extra innings, and then obviously in the tenth when they came back and pulled off another win.
And both teams almost blew it on their own. First of all, Justin Wilson on the mound last night allowing Eric Thames to get to third base, basically uncontested steal. I mean, come on, you just have to be better than that in that situation. And it cost him because then the Cubs drew in the infield and a liner that Javi Baez probably gets to and any other day he couldn't get to. And the Brewers tie the game, or did they take the lead?
They went ahead 3-2
ahead. The Cubs went up and tied it. And that was because Jeffers was
slow to cover first base.
Very
lackadaisical.
It pretty much, I was a little bit surprised on the review of that they called him safe.
Yeah, it was close.
Inconclusive, and that's where the call of the umpire is so important.
Real easy lesson, though, for young pitchers out there, when you're going to cover first base, sprint to first base.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals get burned by that.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier this year. Was that Rosenthal, if I recall right?
I'm just moving forward, Scott. it's all about who they play tonight, and that's the Pirates.
All right, so if you're a Cardinal fan, probably at this point, unless you're hoping for the Cardinals to go on a 10-game winning streak and the Cubs go on a 10-game losing streak, I mean, really, the Cubs just have to go 5-5 to knock the Cardinals out of the Central race at this point. His magic number is 6 for the Cubs over Milwaukee. You are rooting for the Cubs tonight against the Brewers, and you're rooting for your former pitcher, John Lackey, on the hill against Brandon Woodruff. And Lackey, being Lackey, got thrown out of the ball game last time, so he didn't even make it.
I wonder if he's going to be fired up tonight.
I think he will. And, you know, Joe Maddon has basically said, let's let Lackey be Lackey.
I'd do the same.
Yeah, I'd be afraid to not let him be himself out there. But he is, he's a hothead, is just what he is. That's what he's got.
Yeah, you love him when he's on your team. I mean, he's pitched some huge games throughout his career at every stop along the way, first with the Angels and then with the Red Sox and with the Cardinals and now with the Cubs. And I know he's had his struggles this year on the mound, but maybe he'll struggle again in the postseason. It'll be an interesting predicament for Joe Maddon to figure out just his pitching rotation and in the playoffs at all. But I would think you'd have to feel pretty confident at least going into a game with him on the mound, just knowing his gamemanship and his he's been in every big situation imaginable.
My guess, it's Jake Arrieta for game one for the Cubs.
Lester struggled this year, and it's the funny thing is you look back to the last 2 years with the Cubs and just their dominant starting pitching, and that's really what carried them in 2015, and then obviously on their magical run last year to the World Series title. But this year it's been very inconsistent, and every game, I'm sure if you're a Cubs fan, is almost just like a choose your own adventure, because you're never quite sure what's going to happen.
And you know what? After last year, I kind of like it. It's a lot more fun. Yeah. And the Cubs could win a division for the third year in a row.
Second year in a row.
Yeah. And make the playoffs for the third year in a row, yeah. Making playoffs, which would be a... hasn't happened since 1908.
Yeah.
So
enjoy it.
Yeah. So for the Cardinals in Pittsburgh tonight, Michael Wacha on the hill. Ivan Nova will oppose him. And if you're scoreboard watching, it'll be a late night because Colorado, which has the second wild card spot, is in San Diego for the West Coast game. The White Sox are hosting Kansas City. All right,
go Padres.
That's right. You are now a Padres fan as well if you are a Cardinals fan. Couple of other headlines to get to. Rutgers has been placed on a 2-year probation and publicly reprimanded by the NCAA and censured by them as well for failing to monitor their football program over a 5-year period between 2011 and 2015. The Division I Committee on Infractions panel ruled today that Rutgers did not ensure its football student host group and its drug testing program followed university policy and NCAA rules. The panel also said that former football coach Kyle Flood, who's now with the Atlanta Falcons, failed to monitor his operations staff and violated university policy by contacting an instructor to make a special academic arrangement for a student athlete. A whole lot of bad going on. Probation for them means what?
I mean, Rutgers football's bad right now. So
it means nothing.
It's just a big slap on the wrist for the previous regime under Kyle Flood, and he was basically promoted as he was an assistant on Greg Schiano's staff when Schiano really had it rolling out in Piscataway for the Scarlet Knights. And then Flood had it going there for a while and then obviously ran into some huge issues off the field. But now Rutgers is trying to rebound once again, and I don't think it helps them that they're in the Big Ten East by any means. But,
and once again, the coach that was at fault for it is no longer with the school. It doesn't really matter to
exactly.
him, I guess, at this point.
I mean, they beat Morgan State 65-0 last Saturday, and now they get to go into an angry Lincoln, Nebraska this Saturday.
Yeah, so you're going into being fed to the Lions there. Coming up with the program, a couple of folks that will join us. Kedrick Prince from Orange and Blue News has a beat on what's going on with Illinois basketball recruiting. It's really starting to heat up as we head towards signing day. And so we'll get the latest from him. Also, the world according to Bob Osmussen. He will check in. It's a bye week, but there's still plenty to get to. Illinois soccer in action. They are tailgating right now over the soccer stadium. They're Socktoberfest, and they're giving away cowbells, root beer, brats, and koozies as well. And they are hosting Maryland tonight, first home Big Ten match of the season. They played awfully well for 109 minutes against Penn State on the road last weekend and then lost in overtime. Sunday they have a matinee as well against Rutgers. Rutgers ranked in soccer. They are number 12. In the country. Illinois volleyball not in action tonight. They're on the road for Northwestern tomorrow night. Back to baseball a moment. Detroit Tigers will not keep Brad Ausmus after the season as their manager. Ausmus will be out after 4 years. That announced today. High school football tonight mentioned. We will be at Rantoul at St. Thomas More, but there are plenty of other games as well. Mohammed Seymour hosting Mattoon. That's pretty significant given what's happened this week at Mattoon with the shooting in their cafeteria. It'll be their first football game since then.
I talked to Mohammed Seymour Athletic Director Matt Hensley briefly this afternoon, and then Mohammed Seymour, it's a big night for them because they're inducting their first ever Hall of Fame class as well. It's homecoming over there too, but the student section, I know, for Mohammed Seymour is supposed to come out and wear green. They're going to make a pregame announcement about the events that happened in Mattoon on Wednesday, and then they're also going to be handing out, I believe, green bracelets at the entrance there to Frank Dutton Field. And always a great atmosphere, great environment to see a game over Muhammad. So if you're in the area, definitely head out there and see what could be a pretty special night.
I saw somewhere on Facebook another school, I think I want to say it was Taylorville, posted a video of them playing they were out of in their bleachers. I don't know if it was a football game or just an event. They got school together. They played the Mattoon fight song. They shouted to them and all that. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty neat moment.
Yeah, I mean, Taylorville's in the Apollo Conference, just like Mattoon is, just like Muhammad Seymour is now in the first year as well. So, yeah, it'll be a very interesting scene out there tonight in Muhammad, and classy gesture by Muhammad Seymour to recognize. Obviously, there's been a lot more on students' minds down at Mattoon High School this week than just academics and athletics. So I'm sure just to get the chance to play football for a few hours, I'm sure it'll take their minds off of the events this week.
The News Gazette number one team, Unity, is taking on Olympia over in Stanford. SJO trying to snap their skid. They host Pontiac. Champaign Central stepping out of Big 12 play. They're hosting a school from Indiana, as there's always a one non-conference game for everybody in the Big 12. Speaking of that, Danville 4-0 heads to Normal West. That's a good matchup. Danville 4-0 and Normal West at 3-1. Monticello and BCC tonight. A couple of unbeaten teams as well, and of course Tuscola. Well, it's just normal for them to be unbeaten.
Yeah, they've won 24 straight regular season games dating back to the 2014 season. They're at 4-0. They host Central A&M in a key Central Illinois Conference matchup tonight. Central A&M's 4-0 as well, but we'll see if the Warriors can keep it going. We'll actually have Anthony Zillis will be over in Muhammad covering that game against Mattoon, and then Scott Ritchie with Illinois off is going down to Tuscola tonight to see the Warriors and see what they can do.
Yeah, you didn't say, hey, Scott, it's a bye week. You can take it off.
He's had some time off, Scott. Don't worry.
How about you?
A little bit.
So Scott's has to keep working then.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah, I understand. No, it's a bye week for football, but it's still plenty busy.
Exactly.
Okay, when we come back, Kedrick Prince joins us. We'll get the latest on Illinois basketball recruiting and the sweepstakes going on with that. Still to come, Bob Osmussen as well. Stay with us. Sports Talk on Friday. Welcome back to Sports Talk on Friday. Getting you ready for your weekend. It's starting to heat up with basketball recruiting in particular for Illinois, and Kedrick Prince covers Illinois for Orange and Blue News and Rivals.com, and he joins us now. How you doing, Kedrick? Good to hear from you. And then hello, Kedrick.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. Hang on. We'll get this worked out here, Kedrick, and get right back with you. Hang on.
Backstabbing, none of that. But I think on the field, the guys trust Jeff. And Jeff is prepared for this.
There's limitations with him, though, isn't there?
Not as many as you think. People think he cannot run, period. He can run better than his dad, which couldn't run at all. So, but he doesn't have his dad's arm, obviously. His dad was the best quarterback in school history. But Jeff Jr. is a really good player. Plus, he's got great competitiveness. He's a gamer. He's a good guy. He works his tail off. He's a guy that I would want in the field. I think their best chance to win against Nebraska is with him at quarterback. No question.
What do you guys think will be the emotional state of Nebraska? You got to figure they'll probably beat Rutgers this weekend.
You think?
But
maybe.
On the heels,
you thought they would have beaten Northern Illinois.
Yeah, right. But on the heels of this, of their athletic director being fired, it's not the same as a coach getting
players
fired.
Don't care. Players do not care, except they're worried about what's going to happen next with the coach. But they don't care about the AD at all. But in some ways, I think there'll be a relief there, because the players would know, okay, something's going to happen. We're going to have to play for. You'll find out really quickly how much they like Mike Riley or not, because they played crazy good this weekend. You know, they want him to be the coach. Now, the next AD, who I think will be hired sometime in the next couple of months, will decide Mike Riley's fate.
Yeah, but you could also just be playing for your own pride, and the fact that even if you don't like your coach right now, or didn't
they
like the AD, they know what this means.
Oh yeah,
what this means, the fact that the AD got fired,
it's on them.
Administration feels the program's not in good shape.
It's on them. At Nebraska, you cannot lose to Northern Illinois. You cannot. Sean Nykhurst was a bad hire as AD. We don't know about the hire as coach that he made. We'll find out. That's to be determined. But I think right now, the people there, I think the players don't care. They don't know who the AD is. They actually, what I hear, he was pretty good with them. He was very, very bad with the media. Very bad with the boosters. So that's always a sign of trouble. I think if you look at Josh Whitman is none of those things. He's good with the media, really good with the fans, good with the boosters. Different kind of guy.
Quickly to squeeze in a phone call here from Carl in Champaign. Hi, Carl.
Hi. I wanted to remind you guys that Howard Griffith was a walk-on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When you Not a qualifier, too.
When you say he was one of the best running backs in school history. By the way, Dave Kaplan really wrote a book?
He did. He will be at Scotty's.
What is it, a first-grade reader?
Oh, now that's a little below the belt now, Carl. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. David Kaplan will be at Scotty's Brewhouse on Sunday. He'll be on Saturday Sports Talk tomorrow morning as well with Lauren and Michael. So, all right, you going to be able to relax with a with an off weekend?
Yes, I will. Some. I'll do something. Write a story of some sort. Actually, I talked to Danny Howard yesterday and kind of talked to him about Lovey, talked to him about we didn't talk about open weeks. We talked about concussions. We talked about
Danny Marson.
That was the late. That was the point of calling them. And of course, that was something we should talk about. Danny Marson was a wonderful guy and an even better coach. So really sad what happened to him. I wish his family the best, of course. And a terrific guy. If you got, ever got to know him, just an unreal person.
Good to see you, Bob. Appreciate you stopping by. The world according to Bob Osmussen.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
We'll be back in a moment. .555 here as we sprint towards the finish line of this week. This no longer a bye week. It is an off week. We have gotten our English lesson for the day, and we are heading to St. Thomas More in just under an hour for Rantoul High School against the St. Thomas More Sabres. Myself and Tim Dittman, who is already there. Hey, Tim, how are you?
Doing pretty well. When I got here about an hour ago, it was a hot box up in this press box, but thankfully we've got a stiff breeze and some clouds have rolled in, so I think it's going to be a pretty good night for football.
Well, St. Thomas More has 22 players on their roster this year. That's basically offense and defense, but there's a lot of guys that play two ways. What's the scene like out there?
Well, right now, just some folks milling about, not a whole lot going on. It is homecoming tonight for St. Thomas More, so they expect a good crowd. And they're also at halftime going to honor their former coach, Dan Hennessy, who was essentially the architect of this program before this year. He was the only coach that this program had. He's now retired, but he'll be back. A bunch of former players will be back to honor him. As far as the comment you made about the number of total players, you know, I was talking to one of the athletic directors before the game, and he was pretty confident that this program is going to be, you know, sustainable into the future. There's no threat that they're going to drop football anytime soon. But it's just there's a lot of young men at the school who are just not going out for football. And enrollment is an issue, too. They are getting a lot more young women enrolling at St. Thomas More than they are men. So a lot of the women's sports here at St. Thomas More are expected to be very good this year. On the men's side, they're just not getting the numbers out to play.
Well, I know volleyball is really good right now for St. Thomas More.
Yeah, his team went over to St. Joseph Ogden on Thursday night and picked up a sweep against the Spartans. I believe they're 16-2 on the season, and STM boys soccer is having a phenomenal season as well. They're 15-2-1 on the season, so they've like they have in the past at STM, they've got some great athletics, and you know, football, I think it's just they only have one senior on the roster this year, so a lot of young players are getting their first chance at varsity experience, and a new coach too, and Nathan Watson, so they're getting used to a new system and everything else that comes about with a new coach in charge of a program.
Hey Tim, we appreciate you checking in. I'll be joining you soon enough.
All right, looking forward to it.
All right,
have a good call, Tim.
Thanks.
That's Tim Dittman out at the High School of St. Thomas More. What's the most intriguing game to you tonight in the high school scoreboard?
Ooh, I would say looking at our bigger schools over Normal, Danville, 4-0 mm-hmm. plays at Normal West, who's 3-1. They're coming off a tough Normal West loss to Normal Community last Friday night. Normal Community is one of the top teams in Class 7A. Danville's ranked 8th in 6A. Normal West is 9th, so it's a very good barometer for what the Vikings might be able to accomplish this year. And on the small school side, huge matchup over in Piatt County. Monticello at 4-0 hosts Bloomington Central Catholic, two state-ranked teams in Class 3A. And This is the first of two straight Friday nights. It's going to be a real key test for Monticello. They travel to Tolono next Friday to face Unity in what should just be a heck of a football game at Hicks Fields, maybe between two 5-0 teams.
That might be the game of the season.
Exactly. Yeah. That's very true.
Certainly for those two schools, but if you just like going watching high
get
school
get there
football,
early next Friday night.
Yes, but of course, there's Illinois football. So you bring that your radio along and tune in. That's how it goes
there you
if you're not going to Morris Stadium. All right. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
No problem,
enjoy the rest of the night.
You too.
Working the scoreboard and all that stuff. Thanks to our guest, Kedrick Prince from Orange and Blue News. He joined us. By the way, you can give him a follow at KedPrince4 on Twitter. The World According to Bob Ospison. Thanks, Bob, as well for checking in. Blake Landa behind the scenes doing a fine job in our technical difficulties tonight. No fault of his or anybody else's, but we got it fixed. So thanks for working hard that way. And thanks most of all to you for listening. Next Sports Talk with me on Tuesday. I'll be back with Lauren at 5 o'clock. But, of course, Saturday Sports Talk tomorrow morning with Lauren and Michael, among their guests, David Kaplan, Joe Hendrickson, and Adam Rittenberg. High school football coming up in less than an hour. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the Tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.